If you are a first-time guest this morning, our lead pastor, Terry Williams, is out of town. He is in Lawrence visiting a church there that we helped start several years ago, Rock Hill. So Terry is there, so I'm here with you. And I want to start our time this morning by talking about movies, if that's all right with you guys. Actually, would like to talk about the new Mission Impossible movie that just came out. Anybody seen that yet? You saw it, Larry? It's worth seeing.
Twice.
Whoa, man. Good job. Now, I haven't seen the movie, but I've seen the other movies. And so I'm going to take a guess on the plot. You can help me, Larry, if I'm tracking with it right. I've seen the other movies and some of the TV series. Yes, kids, Mission Impossible was a TV series before Tom Cruise stepped onto the scene. So here's the plot. You ready? There's a crisis, a national, international crisis. It's like the world is going to end sort of crisis, right? Hey, I'm a good guesser. So now the team, led by Ethan Hunt, are faced with an impossible mission. Now, it's not really an impossible mission. It's more like an improbable mission, but who would want to go see Mission Improbable? That doesn't sound like much fun. So the team comes together with this crazy plan full of gadget wizardry and daring physical feats, and they pull off the impossible. Now, as we continue our series of closing the gap and pursuing a conversational relationship with God, today I want us to consider something that seems like it may be impossible. I want us to consider the possibility of having a relationship with God like that of a friend. So your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to become a friend of God. And this message will self-destruct in... Actually, let's hope it doesn't self-destruct. Today, let's consider the possibility and the reality that we could have a relationship with God like Moses. A relationship in which God speaks to us as a person speaks to a friend. Let me read from Exodus 33. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." So first, let's describe this friendship, relationship with God. Second, let's see if this type of relationship is possible. And third, if it's possible, how can it become more of a reality in our lives? How can it move from possibility more to reality? One of the things I notice in describing this friendship relationship that Moses had with God is they had a two-way trusting relationship. Moses spoke to God, and God spoke to Moses. Yes, Moses trusted God, but you can also see that God trusted Moses with his plans. Moses is making himself known to God. He talks to God about his fears, his insecurities. "God, I can't do this. I need your help. How is this going to work?" See, friends, it seems from this passage, really let each other know what they're thinking. After you've been friends long enough, you sometimes have a pretty good idea what the other person is thinking. And friends also talk about what they're doing together. You might remember this definition of prayer. We've talked about it some over the last few weeks as we've gone through this series together. Talking to God about what we're doing together. That's a definition of prayer. And Moses and God talked about God's plans for the people and how Moses fit into those plans. And after they talked, Moses would take action on what they would discuss. See, God let Moses know what he was planning to do because Moses made God's activity his priority. So God spoke to Moses as a man speaks to a friend face to face. They had a two-way, trusting relationship. God confided in Moses. Moses confided in God. But you may have noticed as I read, Moses could not see God's face and live. While they had a two-way trusting relationship, this was not a peer relationship. Notice the word as in the text. God spoke to Moses as a man speaks to his friend. The friendship analogy that we see here expressed a relational reality between Moses and God. They had a friend-like relationship. The fact that Moses couldn't see God's face and live communicated an actual physical reality. Moses said, "Now show me your glory." God said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Now, we don't know everything that this means. Maybe the reason Moses couldn't see all of God's glory and live was because there was such a large gap between God's holiness and Moses's sin. The gap would be so large that Moses would literally be undone. And if you read in Isaiah, you see that something similar happened to the prophet of Isaiah. He says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Then Isaiah said, 'Woe to me! I am ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.'" Isaiah saw a glimpse of God's glory and realized the profound nature of his sin and the sin of others. So as we're describing this relationship, yes, God is our Father, our Abba, Daddy, but he is also holy. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, this morning, we shouldn't be discouraged by this reality. We are closing the gap, but the gap will never be closed to the extent that we are God's pals. He is perfectly good and holy. And it's a really good thing that he will never be our peer. So this morning, as we're describing this relationship, the mission might be sounding more like mission impossible and not mission improbable. God is infinitely holy and good, and I want to have a friend-like relationship with him. Is this possible? Well, in asking that question, we could look through Scripture and look for other people that maybe had a relationship with God similar to Moses. Abraham had a unique relationship with God. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. Abraham was not God's peer. He was called God's friend because he trusted and believed God. Yes, Abraham had a special calling like Moses, but he also trusted and believed God. Yes, God's sovereignty was in work in choosing Abraham, but Abraham also responded and trusted and believed God, just like Moses did. Jesus, he called his disciples his friends. "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus called his disciples his friends because they did what he commanded. Notice here in Jesus' relationship with his disciples, there is that two-way trusting relationship. Jesus let his disciples know everything the Father had told him. But notice also that they're not peers because Jesus is still commanding his disciples. That's not what peers do. Now, if you're sitting here this morning and I thought this as I was preparing, thinking, okay, Moses, Abraham, the disciples, yep, they had a friend-like relationship with God, but not me. There is no way that I could be in that category. And the question I want you to consider is, why not? Why not you or me? Were these people perfect? Did they have it all together? Certainly not. Moses gave in to anger. Moses murdered an Egyptian man. Moses, who had a friend-like relationship with God, could not go into the promised land because he disobeyed God. See, it's important for us as we read these stories and think about these biblical characters to remember they are real people. Moses slept. Moses got sick. Moses ate manna for breakfast. He had breakfast. He had headaches. He had backaches. I assume he took a bath. Moses had a birthday. He was as real as the nose on your face. Please remember, as we think about these guys and think about their life and try to learn from them, that our life with God, just like their life with God, is about a life direction and not a life of perfection. See, we can think that Moses was special and different from us, and he was special in terms of he did have a call that was very unique on his life, but we have to realize we do have some advantages that Moses did not have. One of those, we have the written word of God. What Moses had was a commitment to trust God. When God spoke, Moses obeyed. See, it does us no good, though, to have the written word of God if we won't do the work to let it influence our lives. Having the Bible, we've said this before here, having the Bible and letting it have us are two different things. We can have knowledge and information, but without application, it's just information stored in our brain. So having the Bible and letting it have us are two different things. Moses had a commitment to obey God, but he didn't have the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. It's breathed out from God. It originates from his mind and his will. And friends know what's on each other's mind. If you want to know what's on God's mind, take in the scriptures. And as you understand them, apply them to your life. Secondly, we have the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. Terry mentioned this in the sermon last week, Galatians 4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Moses lived before the time had fully come. He lived looking ahead to Jesus. We live after the time has fully come. So Hebrews 1 says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets and at many times in various ways. But in these last days, that's when we're living, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. Remember, Moses said, show me your glory. Well, here in Hebrews it says, the son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. So in Ephesians 3, we read, in him, Jesus, the one who is the radiance of God's glory, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. That's how we approach friends, with freedom and with confidence. Because Christ came to earth, lived a sinless life, suffered on the cross, rose again, each of us can have the freedom and confidence to approach the Father. A relationship like a friend is mission possible because of Christ. See, God said to Moses, I know you by name. And the Hebrew word for know is yada. It's a word that speaks of intimacy. God had intimate knowledge of Moses. But it was because Moses let himself be known to God. Friends confide in one another. And because of Jesus, we have the same privilege Moses had. We can approach the Father with the intimate details of our lives, with freedom and with confidence. So maybe this type of relationship with God is possible. But how could this type of relationship become more of a reality? How could it move from possible to reality? Well, I want to talk to you about a plan this morning, and we're going to kind of come up with a plan based on what God said to Moses. I think it'll give us an indication of how this type of relationship could become a reality. You know, friendship takes work. I have lots of close friends in my life, and some of them I've been friends with since I was 12 years old, and I'm still friends with them. But in order to continue to grow in that friendship, I have to pursue them. I have to do work. So this week, I called one of my friends from the sixth grade and said, "Hey, how's it going?" And we caught up. We talked. So friendship doesn't just happen to us. It does require effort on our part. So let's look at what God said to Moses here to maybe give us some clues how we could pursue this type of relationship. God said, "I am pleased with you." It sounds to me like a friend saying, "Moses, I just like spending time with you. You're a fun guy to be around." Now, why did God like spending time with Moses? Numbers 12:3 says, "Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth." I think Moses had a special relationship with God because Moses was a man of humility. He pursued it and he practiced it. Not perfectly, but he pursued humility. And in order for us to have a friend-like relationship with God, I think we should plan to pursue humility. Now, I don't know about you guys, but humility isn't something that I often think about I could work on. It's more like a thing that is bestowed upon you. You either have it or you don't. If I want to get stronger, or if I want to run faster, I go work out, or I go run. I don't sit on the couch. I have to go do something. And I don't put humility in that category often. But I think it is something we can pursue. And last week, Terry talked to us about humility as a state of being. Compared to God, we are utterly humble creatures. We come to Him as children, humble and aware of our dependence. But how do we pursue humility so that it will be a developed character trait in our lives? That's what I want us to focus on today for our application. And as we shift gears to our plan for humility, if you're sitting there thinking of my Mission Impossible idea as, okay, friendship with God is a mission, we have to take it on, and if I fail, then what? Don't think about it that way. We are still in training. We are still improving. We're still walking towards relationship with God. Yes, we know Him, and we want to grow in our knowledge of who He is and what He's done in our lives. This week, I was trying to help my son learn how to drive a manual transmission, and I did ask his opinion if I could share this story, so he said it was okay. All right. Still good, right, Caleb? Good. Okay. So I was teaching him how to drive a manual transmission. And so you can imagine what happened. And I told Caleb, I said, "When we get in the car, you are going to kill it. Like the engine is going to die." Not like kill it like bam, you're going to kill it. But kill it like the engine is going to die. So prepare yourself for that possibility. It will happen. Okay. And so he didn't say that. That was me. Sorry. So he put it in first gear, let out on the clutch, and it died. No problem. I told him it was going to happen. Second time, what happened? Yep, it died. Third time, we got it into first gear, and we're moving, right? And the RPMs are going up. Yeah. And then we had to shift into second gear. We died again. He wasn't discouraged, because I told him ahead of time, "You're going to fail at this. It's okay." So when we look at Moses being the humblest man on the planet, don't think, "Oh, I can never be the humblest man on the planet. I'm going to lose that contest for sure." That's not the point. The point is pursue humility. We are training. We're not just trying. We are training. So what's our training plan for pursuing humility? Well, as Terry said last week, reflect on your humble position. As we regularly reflect on the reality of our positional humility, it can lead us to more character humility. Yes, we're amazing creatures, but we're still vapors. In James, it says, "Listen, listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this city and carry on business and make money, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? Reflect on that question often in your quiet times. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Reflect on your humble position. Next, submit to the authority of Scripture. I already mentioned this, but we do have a great resource that Moses did not have. Maybe in your quiet time, as you spend time with God, you would ask this question: is there a command that I read this week that I need to obey? You see, friends trust each other. Recently, I had a friend who gave me some advice, and other friends had given me similar advice, and I'm sad to say that I chose to ignore it. But eventually, I did come around, and I decided that I would trust my friend and follow through. See, my friend is older than me, more experienced than me, and I'm trusting him with what he thinks is best rather than what I think or feel. Our father, our Abba, Daddy, is way smarter than we are. Will we trust what he says in his God-breathed word, or will we just submit to what we want? So God, I want to use my money this way, but I know in your word it says I should use it this way. So I'm going to trust you. Please help me. God, I want to pursue sexual pleasure this way, but you said sexual intimacy is preserved for marriage between a man and a woman. Help me to trust you and honor you with my body. God, sometimes I want to give my kids a piece of my mind. I do. That's what Caleb said. But you said, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. God, I do trust you. Please help me apply that reality in my life. And I'm not saying that this is easy. Submitting to Scripture doesn't come naturally to us, but it's what is required. Our Father in heaven really knows better than we do. Will we trust him by submitting regularly to what he says in his word? Next, to pursue humility, part of your plan for training is think of others by serving. Think of yourself less by serving others. See, humility is not just thinking less of yourself. It's not about putting yourself down. Humility is really found by thinking about yourself less. And we think about ourselves less by serving others. The Christian discipline of service is a physical way that you can train yourself to be more humble. If we'll engage in this physical practice, we will see the unseen character of humility grow in our lives. Yes, we have to check our motives, but we would do better to engage in the discipline of serving and work on our motives as we serve. And you know, Moses, if you look at him, he had a position of prominence, but he also served. He used his position to serve. He didn't even want that position. He served the people by being obedient to God where he was. So pursuing humility doesn't mean we pass on positions of prominence. If we're in those positions, we use our influence to serve others for God's glory and their good. Next, be real with God and others. As I mentioned before, God said to Moses, I know you by name. Does God really know you? Yeah, I want to be God's friend, but I could never talk to God about this. I could never be honest with him about these fears or these secrets. Our Father in heaven has made a way through Jesus for his kids to come to him with freedom and confidence. Do we keep things from him because we don't want to submit? Do we keep things from him because we think it will change his opinion of us? As we think about being real with God, since we are physical and spiritual beings, I would challenge you to find someone that you could open up to, that you could be real with, someone who's a part of your church, part of your small group, that you can confide in. You know, for me, my normal bent is to sort of keep people at a distance till it's safe and secure. And if that's your normal bent, you'll probably keep God at a distance as well. But we can pursue humility by being known by God and others. And lastly, like Moses did, Let's make God's agenda a priority in our lives. Moses and God were regularly talking about what they were doing together. Yes, Moses had a special call, but so do you. We can't let God's sovereign hand on Moses' life for this great mission make us think we're off the hook. We're not off the hook. Yes, God had a sovereign plan for Moses, but Moses responded. God has something that he is doing in and through you and around you. Will we be open and available to his agenda? It's a way to humble ourselves. God has called me to love the kids at my dinner table. He's called me to serve my spouse. He's called you to take interest in those people who are around you. Serve them and those in your small group. Love that person at work. Be kind to that person in your class. Students, you're headed back to school this week. I know you already knew that. Sorry to remind you. But God wants to use you in your school to make himself known to those around you. God, what are you doing here as I walk the halls? How can I join you? Teachers, you're also headed back to school. I know some of you already have gone, but now students are coming. Sorry, I know to bring some more bad news on you. But you could pray, God, please don't give me that wild bunch of kids like I had last year. And I think that would be an okay thing to pray, but you could also pray, God, as I stand in front of these children for 180 days this semester, let them see you in me. Show them yourself through me. Show me where you're at work so I can join you. Making God's agenda a priority is not about doing stuff for God. It's about availability and awareness. As we carry out our daily routines, do we look for where God is at work? Will we be available to his agenda? So for our prayer time today, as we finish up, I want you to pray through this pursuit of humility. Terry said last week, humility is not the end, but it's the means. Let's engage with the means so that we can move towards the end, a relationship with God like that of a friend. This is Mission Possible. It's not just for the super spiritual, it's for everyone. Because of Jesus, this type of relationship is possible. Do you want to have this type of relationship? Will you pursue it by pursuing humility? See, we are closing the gap. The door to friendship with God is open for us, and we can step into that and move closer to him by pursuing humility. The band's going to come and play, and as they play, you can pray through these things, and then we'll worship together.